Mr. Ashley, Reel 2.
Now, your service experience on battleships was on one ship which was coal-fired and one ship which was oil-fired.
Yes.
Did you get any training as regards the different ways of doing things or the different kinds of equipment on oil as a...
No. We had no instruction at all regarding the engine room.
Yeah, I see. Fine.
We were confined to the signals in the seaman side of it, you know.
And during that basic period of training, was any of the training based on the old traditions of sail in any ways at all?
No, I can't remember. No, I don't think so. Mama was sure. The swimming instructor was too... he wasn't human, to my mind, you know.
Why was that?
Well, they... I know I was a backward swimmer, but they had this big pole with a damn great lump on the end of it, you see, and every time you yelled out, they pushed you under. And it affected my hearing. I can remember that. But I suppose it had to be that way because I suppose I was awkward as well, so I'm not saying that it was all their fault.
Right. Now, the next... there are a few questions I want to ask you about uniform, about dress.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm particularly interested in is what was the attitude of people who served on the lower deck to the official uniform?
Well, I loved it myself, and I don't want to boast and brag, but I had the prize for the best kept kit for 2 years running when I was in training ships.
Mm-hmm. So it was a popular uniform?
Yeah, but it was to me. I loved it.
Yeah. Was it a functional uniform?
Oh, yes, yes.
It seemed suited for all the jobs
you had. Yeah, yes, because, you see, when you were working, you wore your ducks, your canvas suits.
Yeah.
And when you were going ashore or on duty, you wore your blues.
I see.
And then on Sunday morning divisions, you wore your number one with your gold badges instead of the red. Oh, I was very proud of the uniform itself.
Good. Apart from the various uniforms you were issued with, were you issued with any particular kind of clothing for particular jobs?
Only in submarines.
What was that?
Well, everything was woolen, you see. You had woolen pants, thick woolen pants, woolen stockings that came up above your knees, leather sea boots, and a big white sweater. Because you had to have that because you had no heat in the submarines. That was to keep you warm, you see.
Yeah. Was there any special kinds of uniforms for any other jobs?
No, because when you did any dirty jobs, you put your duck suits on and had to wash them, you know, scrub them.
Yeah. Now, I know that there were fairly strict regulations about official dress, but I wonder if there was any scope for individual styling of the uniform.
Well, I did. As a matter of fact, I had my individual style and I got 10 days leave stop for doing it. Instead of tying the silk this up the back, I used to tie mine down here because it used to lay better.
Sorry, I don't quite understand that.
Well, normally you had to wear your silk tied at the back of your neck, you see. Well, I used to put mine down and tuck the ends down into my jumper because it looked better that way.
Yeah.
And I never wore my knife on my lanyard, which I should have done. I always kept mine in my pocket.
Why?
Because it made it so heavy, the lanyards laid better with that. I was very fastidious about my uniform.
Were there any other ways that other people you knew made various adjustments to these?
No, I think we all did the same. I mean, we were very about the creases in your trousers. You know, you should have folded them up and put them under your hammock so they crease out nicely in the morning, or your Sunday mornings for divisions. And then the cap ribbon, you used to have various ways of tying the cap ribbon and wearing your cap. Some wore it Beatty style and some straight.
Now, explain that to me in a little more detail.
As you know, a sailor normally wears his hat straight over the forehead, doesn't he? But I used to like to cop mine up, you know, one side of the way. Always think it looked better. And the name of the ship showing up.
Any other ways you used to tinker around with the uniform? I'm thinking of things like sort of hat ribbons, for example.
No, we used to tie fancy bows, you know, instead of having the regulation one sewn down, we used to undo it and tie a fancy bow with a hat ribbon met. And then we used to, you know, iron our collars to shine. You know, the blue collars with the three white stripes on them.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only ideas I had, and I can't remember anyone else having any better ideas, because I reckon I was one of the best dressed blokes in the Navy myself.
Yeah. Did you ever have any of your uniforms sort of specially spartaned up in unofficial ways that you used to wear when you were at home?
When I used to go home, I mean, I get my mother to do my starch mist colours and things like that, to, you know, when I was on leave.
Right.
Because when I first started, we used to issue with a straw hat. You know, straw hats were issued when I first joined. Right, and we used to have to wear them Sunday morning for divisions, for church service.
How did you like those as compared with the
later? Well, I didn't like them. As a matter of fact, I lost mine. I fell in the sea at Mutton Cove steps at Plymouth one Sunday morning, and mine went floating down the river.
Why didn't you like them?
Well, I couldn't wear them properly. Yeah. I couldn't.
When you were issued with your initial uniform, what arrangements were made for looking after it and repairing it and things like that?
Well, you had to do that. You had what they called a housewife given you, which consisted of cotton needles and scissors and wool to repair your socks, because you had to do all that. You're supposed to do all that yourself. I never did, because I couldn't, but you should have done.
And when you had either grown out of one of your uniforms or else it had worn out, what were the regulations about?
Well, you had to go and get a new issue, and you were charged a certain amount against your account. You never actually paid cash for it. Although a lot of us used to get suits made ashore.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about.
Yeah,
that.
By these civilian tailors, you know. They used to make it up in a sort of different, a better serge than what the Navy gave out.
And that was permissible, wasn't
it? Oh, yes. Provided it was the same colour.
Yeah. Would any of the lower deckers themselves ever run up uniforms for people?
Well, yes, there were quite a few used to do the repairs on them, and I should imagine they'd make them as well. Because that would be in the big ships. I mean, it wouldn't be in the submarine service, because you never had the facility for anything there.
Yeah. Now, once you'd got your complete issue of uniform and other kit, what kind of checks were made on its completeness?
Well, you had a kit inspection every so often. I just can't remember how often, but you had to lay the whole of the kit out, and that was inspected by the officer of the day every so often. But then if by chance you wanted any more, you had to go up to the purser's place and get it, and you had to get a chit signed first, and so you could have it. Had to take up the old, you know, the old worn-out one, and they'd give you another one in its place.
Were there any ways in which you could avoid replacing items of clothing? So any ways of sort of getting around the kit inspections?
No, only by borrowing somebody else's. And that was done quite a bit, yeah. I understand. I didn't do it myself.
I was thinking of things like, you know, sort of wrapping two individual socks around a piece of paper to make them look like a pair, things like that.
No, well, you didn't. You laid your socks out. You laid them out flat. You didn't roll them up, you know, like a...
They're always inspected.
Oh, in pairs, yeah.
They're always inspected, unfolded. Right?
Yeah,
I see.
Everything was unfolded, yeah, when it was inspected.
So there were no ways in which you could avoid buying replacement kit. Yeah. Was it much of a financial burden because you had to purchase your own kit?
Well, I don't think so, you see, because in those days we were only paid sixpence a week, pocket money. The rest was kept in your account in the Navy, you see.
Mm.
So anything was taken from that, what money you had. So you didn't know, really.
What was the attitude of the men to having to pay for their own replacement equipment?
Well, I don't think they worry. I mean, it was very cheap. I mean, it wasn't a question of paying a lot of money for it.
Yeah. Did the issues of equipment and uniform, the personal issues, vary at any time during the period you were in the Navy? Were there any changes?
No, the only changes when I got the submarines and I was issued with submarine kit in addition to the ordinary Navy kit I had.
This is the kit you've already described.
Yeah.
I see, fine. Now, there's quite a lot of questions I wanted to ask you about the sort of jobs you had. Now, I take it that when you started off in Impregnable, you didn't really have any jobs as such.
Oh, no, everything was training then.
Yeah, except, presumably, there was some work involved with sort of spit and polish, keeping things clean.
Oh, yes, you had to do that, yes.
Well, cast your mind back to the period on HMS Impregnable. What kind of spit and polish jobs did you have there, and how did you do them?
There were a lot of brass work to be polished, I know. And each mess had its turn to polish this brass.
Was there a particular Navy way of doing that?
Oh, yes.
What was that?
Well, it was sandpaper and some oil they used.
And what?
Sandpaper and oil.
And how did you apply it?
Well, you just put the oil in and rubbed it with sandpaper, you know, to clean the brass that way. You didn't have any brass or anything like that in those days.
Yeah.
And then you had to wash the decks down every morning, scrub the decks down.
Was there a Navy way of doing that?
Oh, yes.
Describe it.
Well, you had the holy stones, you know, you had two stones and rub the decks on your knees.
Yeah.
And then you washed it down with seawater and squeegeed it down and there you are, because you had no boots and shoes on all the time.
Yeah, I see. Good. So your first experiences, working experiences, would be when you joined Iron Duke in March 14.
Yes, right, yeah.
Tell me about your job on Iron Duke. Well, what did it actually involve?
Well, I was a signalman on the watch there. I mean, I had to go and watch with a signalman, you see. He had watches. You either did the morning, afternoon, or the two dog watches, or the evening, a night watch, or middle watch, you see.
And how were the signalmen organised? What were the various
Well, we were organised in port and starboard watches, you see.
Yeah. To do what jobs?
Well, to be on the bridge all the time, the ship's at sea or in harbour. A signalman must be on the bridge all the time. Mm-hmm. And you had to watch for signals from other ships or send signals to other ships as necessary, as given to you by the captain of the ship or the signal officer, if there was a signal officer.
As a signal boy, as you were aboard Iron Duke, did you have any particular responsibilities?
Yeah, you had to look after the signal flags. See, they were all in the place in the right lockers every morning.
I see.
And you had to hoist the flags if they said, because you used to do, if the signal went up speed 16 knots, you had to put the flags up. 16 knots, speed 16 knots, you see, so you had to pick them out and say to the yeoman, that's all right. They say yes, and up they go.
Mm-hmm. Apart from flags, what was the other equipment that you had to use?
Semaphore, arms, you know, the arm semaphore, flag semaphore, searchlight, oldest lamp.
What's arm semaphore?
Well, you know, you've seen those. There's a signal, there's two arms. One goes up to you, that one that way, and then you manoeuvre them.
Yeah, I've not seen those.
Well, I don't suppose they're used now, but they were in those days.
Yeah.
You did all your training on those, actually.
I see.
Ship had one on its bridge.
Yeah. Anything else about your work on Iron Duke?
Well, the only thing, another thing, I mean, if any flags was caught, you had to go up and clear them. The signal never, always send the signal boy up, you know, get you used to it. But often the flags got caught, and when if the ship altered course, and then when the ship got, the flags got caught in the, around the mast, you just got to clear them. Mm-hmm. And the other job, you always had the job of hoisting the white ensign and the Union Jack and lowering it, you know. It's sunrise and sunset. That was all the signal boy's job.
When you transferred to Queen Elizabeth, did that affect your work in any way?
No, because I was on the flag staff. You see, I was on the Admiral's flag staff. Yeah. Where the Admiral went, I had to go.
I wondered whether, by virtue of the Queen Elizabeth being a newer ship, that sort of affected your work in any way.
No, the signal work was exactly the same.
Now, when you moved on to submarines later, I think a signalman was probably a different kind of animal.
Oh, yes, yeah. We had wireless to do as well there, you see.